are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So the intersection of faith and traditional gender roles for Christian men is a multifaceted and evolving area of discussion within the Christian community. It often involves a balance between personal belief, cultural context, denominational teachings, and a commitment to the core principle of Christianity, such as love, compassion, and service to others. So we are, in fact, unpacking this with Pastor Chikomo, who's already joining us on the line. My Pastor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Are you hearing me clearly?
Loud and clear, my Pastor. Are you well?
Very much fine. Thank you so much.
Indeed. Mfundisi, before we start our discussion, I'm going to ask that, can we please pray?
Okay, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you as we begin this discussion, as important as it is. We pray, Lord, for your guidance through your Holy Spirit, and may it be a blessing that we are going to discuss these matters and also uplift your name in everything, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, growing up, I've always known that, you know, there are gender roles. Well, I knew what they are called when I got to school, but I always knew that a girl has to do this, a boy has to do that, you know. So do we have traditional gender roles provided by biblical interpretation?
Yes, I want to believe the Bible informs our way of life in every aspect of it. And we see that from creation, men and women were created different, yet equal. And the difference is mainly in their roles or functions. And we see there are some few factors that actually tell of this fact. The order of creation, that man was created first, tells us something about these differences. The gender differences, that the other one is male, the other one is female, also tell of the different responsibilities, if not abilities. Then we also have the woman defined as the helper.
Mm-hmm.
I want to believe also this also tell of some functional distinctions. Mm-hmm. And also Eve needed protection. You remember she was taken from the side of Eve, of Adam, not actually under from his feet or above the rib, but on the side, which signifies equality, and she needed protection. And all this means Eve was not inferior, neither was Adam superior in terms of equality, but they were of the same nature and equal in that way. And so these were to complement in their roles. And so I want to believe you find in every culture, in every home, and somehow naturally roles differ. We just know somehow instinctively that I as a man can do this and this woman can do that.
Mm-hmm. Pastor, then what is the difference between cultural and denominational gender roles? Because it can get quite interesting, right? Because when we're reading the Bible, we're getting this, but culturally we know good. It's not make sure, but some of them, they do cross paths somewhere, somehow. So what is the difference there?
Okay, the difference between cultural and denominational gender roles, I think there should be no difference, actually. There should be harmony, actually.
Mm.
And on one condition, that scripture informs culture and not vice versa. And also culture must actually subordinate itself to scripture, and wherever cultural roles are assigned to men or women, they should not conflict biblical teaching. So we may have other considerations like 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7, which says husbands dwell with women according to knowledge, and especially that they are weaker vessels and they are also fellow heirs in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of grace. So I want to believe the difference is actually may not necessarily be different in terms of conflict, but actually there is harmony, especially when culture subordinates itself to the biblical teaching.
Mm, okay. English here is going to get the best of me, Pastor. You know this word that I'm about to say. I've been looking at it. Okay. I've been looking at it. So, do we believe in what is that word? What is egalitarianism? Ooh! Yeah,
egalitarianism. Egalitarianism, yes.
Yes, I must go back to school. As Adventists, do we believe that in that as Adventists? Because, wow, I can't repeat the word.
Oh, you know, egalitarianism is actually a belief that there is equality. Okay. It's actually a doctrine, the doctrine that all people are equal and deserve equal rights and opportunities. That's basically egalitarianism. Now, as Adventists, we subscribe to the opposite of it, which is complementarianism.
Okay.
So, as Adventists, we can actually align with complementarianism, which is a theological view or biblical view that men and women have different but complementary roles and responsibilities in marriage, family life, and religious leadership. So, you know, in our modern societal trends, especially when we borrow from other cultures, well, they might have other genuine elements in their ideologies, maybe when they talk about equal job opportunities, education opportunities, or employment opportunities. Unfortunately, these ideologies attempt to impose their other elements on scripture and try to override scripture. And these modern ideas seek to elevate the other gender and denigrate the other, maybe elevate the feminine gender and denigrate the male gender. So now you will see that male leadership does not really mean women are trampled underfoot.
Okay.
Both are created, both are created equal in nature and value, but they just have different roles. So egalitarianists have some reasonable arguments here and there, but again, some of their arguments actually violate biblical principle. Now, in every ideology, you may find some grain of correct elements, but again, embracing the ideology in its totality means also embracing its errors. And because of those questionable, scripturally questionable elements in it, I think the church has its well-defined position on the matter, which may not be termed egalitarianism, but we can call it complementarianism. So it's a clear understanding which is purely biblical, because cultural presuppositions or assumptions which are not warranted by scripture cannot be safe for us as a church.
Okay, so how has the changing societal and gender norms affected the existence of Christian men? Because we do know that, Pastor, you know, things are changing. You know, I'm slightly younger, but not that young.
Yeah.
You know, we do know that whilst we were growing up, we knew that you know, men had to do this. You know, women had to do this. But now, men are actually doing what they were taught, that it is a woman's job and stuff like that. But as Christians as well, how does that affected us, like, you know, the changing of the times, the changing of the gender roles?
Especially referring to Christian men, I think the best answer that I can give is confusion. It has brought confusion to Christian men. You know, they are just confused as to which side now they can take on this conflict, which side they can stand, whether to go along with the norms of the day or to stand firm on the traditional belief and practice. And secondly, also, it leads to some challenges in our families, you know, when now even in one family, a man might be leading or having a family which has different convictions on these matters, whether this thing is right or this thing is wrong. And you have ladies in the family, you have men in the family, and these also on conflicting sides, they tend to give more confusion to the men who might be leading the home. And also now, the Bible is fast becoming relegated to the lowest levels in terms of being the guide to principle and practice. So I want to believe it is becoming more and more difficult for men to be real Christian men, because standing on the principles of God's word can make you unpopular. It may even make you lose some friends. You can lose a job. You can lose business. So many people fear that, and so they stand between trying to stand on what they are convicted of in their convictions, and between also the norms of the day.
So when you mentioned, you know, being confused, Pastor, there in your answer, how can men now navigate all these conflicting sides? How can they now not be confused as things are changing?
Yes, I was just trying to think along this one, and I say maybe I can refer you to a book by Ellen White, mm-hmm. Education on page 57.
Okay.
It reads, the greatest want of the world is the want of men who will not be bought or sold, men who in their inmost souls are true and honest, men who do not fear to call sin by its right name, men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle is to the pole. She's referring to the compass needle. It is true to the North Pole. Men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall.
Mm-hmm.
So what this means is the best man can do is to seek God's will from his word and to stand on a thus says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's my response. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Hey, Pastor, so as we're about to wrap up, you know, we're having boy children that we are raising, mm-hmm. to be Christian men, to be after God's heart, to be, you know, to be outstanding men in the society. So as we are raising them,
mm-hmm.
we as their parents, we come from a different generation. They are in a different,
yes.
generation as well. How then do we navigate, mm-hmm. that, teaching them that, Bona, you must tend to the garden. And then the boy comes, you know, with that English that they speak these days. No, mommy.
Mm-hmm.
no, mommy, I'm not going to be doing that, you know. So how then do navigating, mending the gender gap between us and these children that, mm-hmm. we are raising as Christians?
The good thing about the principles of God's word is that they transcend these transitions. They transcend these gaps. The word of God actually has been there through generations and generations. And those who managed it well, those who handled the word of God well, managed, mm-hmm. even to transcend from one generation to another without any problem. So I think we just have to be firm. And if we are to instill some traits or some principles into our children, especially our boy children, we need really to have a firm hand, if not firmer hand,
mm-hmm.
than what used to be in the past, because of the situation that we find ourselves in today. Then we have really to be strong and be stronger than before. We don't have a society which was just the usual society of old, but this is a new situation, and we need really to step up and to. We still have the same tools. The word of God is the same tools. If we are to teach them how to work, it's biblical that they should work. If they have to do the gardening, if they have to do anything that is of help in their spiritual and the physical and mental and, you know, societal development, I think we have to just be firm, and the word of God provides for that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Mfundisi, for,
yes.
that. You know, I'm going to ask that. Can you please do pray for the men as well as the boy children?
Thank you so much. We can pray now. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for helping us through your word to stand even in troublous and stormy times that we are going through. We want to thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to see that we are already amidst some challenges and we have crisis around us. But we want to thank you because you have never failed us. You will even help each and every man who trusts in you so that they will navigate all the conflicts and challenges of life, especially as leaders in the family, leaders in the society, leaders in the church, so that we will glorify your name by taking our positions, depending totally on you. May you bless Adventist World Radio as we continue in this broadcasting work. May your truth continue to be spread across the board, and everyone receives you ends up in your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that wonderful insight. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.